Book of Ezekiel, chapter 30, starting from verse 1.
The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Howl ye, woe worth the day. For the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near, a cloudy day. It shall be the time of...
As last chapter we read, we were reading about the Egypt. And this is continuously, God is talking about Egypt. Here say, howl or say, oh, means weep and cry because the time has come. And he says the time of the cloudy, the time of the heathen. Very dark days are coming. And so he said, you should be now weeping and crying and wailing and telling these people, this is the sad day for Egypt. They were great people. They were great warriors. They were great armies and everything. But here the word of God is saying, the time is coming. He says, it's coming very near. A cloudy day is a dark day, is a very gloomy day for Egyptian people. The days are coming. They have seen this thing before when the Israeli people were there and they were harassing them. And we saw the light one side and the darkness outside where the Egyptians were. So they have seen it. But now here he's saying, go and tell these people. God told Ezekiel from last time we said 10th year. Means when the Israeli people were already in captivity, 10 years passed. From that time, now here the 11th year, and we will see even 12th years. Couple of years, God is telling Ezekiel prophesied against Egypt. Nowadays, we have television, we have internet, and we have texting and everything, so the people can hear or understand within a day or within a minute. But here is a big country, and you have to tell these people, Ezekiel might be going to city, the town to town, and it takes time to tell all these Egyptians people to repent. The word of God doesn't say here repent, but here is saying, giving warning, the cloudy day, the dark day, the day of the Lord is coming, and this is the day of the heathen. The heathen will be coming and destroying the Egyptians. Now, Egyptians are not Israeli people, but he says the heathen people will destroy Egyptians, also heathen. Verse 4.
And the sword shall come upon Egypt, and great pain shall be in Ethiopia, when the slain shall fall in Egypt. And they shall take away her multitude, and her foundations shall be broken down.
Egyptian people made so many pyramids when Israeli people were there like a slave. But now he's saying, not only Egypt and Ethiopia, means the boundary, they had Ethiopian people surrounding the boundaries. But there are so many other countries' names are given here because they were depending on Egypt. And Egyptians were ruling all these people. And so there were so many armies from different countries. So here the word of God is saying the foundations are broken. Now the foundation, we didn't say the Egyptian pyramids breaking down because they are still around here. But he says the foundation will be broken, means Egyptian government's foundation, Egyptian country's foundation, Egyptian military's foundation is going to be broken. Now they are not going to stand before God. Their foundation will be broken, and the word of God says God is going to send the sword from enemy. Verse 5.
Ethiopia and Libya and Lydia and all the mingled people and Chub and the men of the land that is in league shall fall with them by the sword.
See, all the mingled people means all people were together supporting Egypt. They were all people will fall by the sword. Can you imagine? These people never thought this thing can happen. Great country, other countries are supporting them. But the time has come, nobody has power to defeat coming enemy. And you will be learning in this chapter how God destroys these Egyptian people. Verse 6.
Thus saith the Lord, they also that uphold Egypt shall fall, and the pride of her power shall come down. From the tower of Syen shall they fall in it by the sword, saith the Lord God. And they shall be desolate in the midst of the countries that are desolate, and her cities shall be in the midst of the cities that are wasted. And they shall know that I am the Lord, when I have set a fire in Egypt, and when all her helpers shall be destroyed. In that day shall messengers go forth from me in ships to make the careless Ethiopians afraid, and great pain shall come upon them as in the day of Egypt, for lo, it cometh.
Now see, here different countries' names are given, and Ethiopia's name is given again, and he says, I am going to destroy this city, and the people are going to go in a ship, and giving the message to the other countries that the destruction of Egyptian has come. Even the Ethiopian people at that time, a strong army, strong, healthy people, but they were not able to protect Egypt. And all other countries' names are given, those countries who are mingling with Egyptian, but not a single country had the power to defend Egypt. Why? Because you're going to see what's happening in this country. Okay, verse 10.
Thus saith the Lord God, I will also make the multitude of Egypt to cease by the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon. He and his people with him, the terrible of the nations, shall be brought to destroy the land, and they shall draw their swords against Egypt and fill the land with the slain. And I will make the rivers dry and sell the land into the hand of the wicked, and I will make the land waste and all that is therein by the hand of strangers. I, the Lord, have spoken it.
Egyptian's army has no power. And last week we learned Egyptian means the Pharaoh was saying, I made all this river, and he was thinking, I'm a creator. But now the word of God is saying, I am going to dry all your rivers. When the rivers are dried, that means what? You have no water, your animal is going to die, the people will going to die, and they will have lots of problems. So the word of God is saying, when this thing happens, and your land will be a wasteland, that time you'll know, I am the Lord, and the Lord has spoken. That's why God was telling Ezekiel, go and tell each and every Egyptian that what God is going to do. When this is going to be fulfilled, they will know that God has spoken these things. Verse 13.
Thus saith the Lord God, I will also destroy the idols, and I will cause their images to cease out of Naph, and there shall be no more a prince of the land of Egypt, and I will put a fear in the land of Egypt.
Here is saying there is a place called Naphar, and there is the idols. Maybe each and every Egyptian had the idols in their houses. But this is a shrine. This is a special place. Keep all the idols. And those idols, God says, I'm going to destroy them. You will not find any idol in this land again. It means at that particular time. And all the princes of the land of Egypt will be destroyed. So God is very angry at these people. And those people might be thinking their idol, their God, will help them. But when their gods are destroyed, that means their God is gone, their strength is gone, their power is gone, and their hope is gone. And that's the way God says, I'm going to destroy all their idols. And now today also there are so many people, they have different idols. And they don't say I'm worshipping the idols, but each and every person forgets the God and put their attention on something else in this world. But God says, I will take those things away. Some people are, you know, thinking, oh, this is my wife, and without them they cannot live. Or the son as an idol, or the daughter as an idol, what happens? Then God removes that person. If you trust one person too much, then that person goes away out of your eyes. So that's the way God is saying to this Pharaoh. You trusted in your idols? I'm going to destroy your idols. They're not going to help you. They're not going to protect you. So the point I'm making, our center, our mind should be focused on Jesus. Because you see, husband, wife, mother, father, they're going to go one day. Are you going to be panicked because wife is gone or husband is gone? No, Jesus is still alive. He is there forever. So we have to trust in God. Put your trust in God. Now these Egyptian people, they trust in their money, their wealth, their towers, and their rivers, and their God. But God is taking all those things out. Verse 14.
And I will make Pathros desolate, and will set fire in Zoan, and will execute judgments in No. And I will pour my fury upon Sin, the strength of Egypt, and I will cut off the multitude of No. And I will set fire in Egypt. Sin shall have great pain, and No shall be rent asunder, and Noph shall have distresses daily. The young men of Avon and of Pibeseth shall fall by the sword, and these cities shall go into captivity. At Tehaphnehes also the day shall be darkened, when I shall break there the yokes of Egypt, and the pomp of her strength shall cease in her. As for her, a cloud shall cover her, and her daughters shall go into captivity.
Now see how many cities names are given. Some of the cities has a tower, some of the cities has the military camp, and some of the cities are very strong. But he says all the cities will be destroyed. And those people will have like a cloudy days. When the trouble comes, the darkness falls on this country. And that's why when the darkness comes, gloomy days comes, not only cloudy day for all these other countries, but he says the daughters also shall go into captivities. Now, daughter is not talking about the Pharaoh's daughters. He's saying daughter means other countries adopted as their country. Those people are depending on Egypt. Those people also will go to captivity. Verse 19.
Thus will I execute judgments in Egypt, and they shall know that I am the Lord.
This is the way I'm going to do judgment to Egypt, and then they will know I am the Lord. Now God is repeating this many, many, many times. I am the Lord. Because God is saying, when I'm saying this thing, these things are going to happen. Sometimes these people might be thinking, oh, he's talking, crying about 1 year passed, nothing happened, another year passed, nothing happened. But this news has to go all around the Egypt and surrounding country to tell them these things are happening. When these things are coming to pass, then they will know, I'm the Lord. I'm the one who has spoken these things. Verse 20.
And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the first month, in the 7th day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have broken the arm of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and lo, it shall not be bound up to be healed, to put a roller to bind it, to make it strong, to hold the sword.
Again he's saying, 11th year. Now 10th year he starts talking, now the 11th year, whole year, the warning is going. And now he's saying, what I'm going to do, I'm going to break the arm of the Pharaoh. Now just think, his arms is broken. Then he says, if the arm is broken, don't let it heal. Means don't put it in a sling. Don't give any medicine. And even though they do, that arm is not going to be healed. If God breaks your arm, no doctors in the world can fix it. That's an example. People sometimes run to the doctor, but sometimes doctor cannot do anything. Other day we heard one person went there and a small minor work of surgery is done. Person said, I have a lot of pain. They gave him morphine and person died. See, there is no guarantee that your life will be preserved or protect the doctor or somebody. No doctor will come to rescue you when God breaks your hand or breaks your arm. Verse 22.
Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and will break his arms, the strong and that which was broken. And I will cause the sword to fall out of his hand. And I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations, and will disperse them through the countries. And I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babylon, and put my sword in his hand, but I will break Pharaoh's arms. And he shall groan before him with the groanings of a deadly wounded man.
First of all, he said, I'm going to break his hand. And then he said, I'll break his another arm. So the sword he is holding, it will fall from his hand. Now the both hands are broken. Now, if you are a warrior, you have so much power, and now your both hands are broken, you have no strength. Top of that, he says, I am going to give my sword in the Nebuchadnezzar's hand. And when I give my sword in his hand, then he will destroy Pharaoh. See, first of all, he says, now his both hands are broken. You cannot fix them. You cannot heal them. You cannot do anything to his hands. On top of that, I am giving my sword in Babylonian king's hand. When God sword somebody hold, he doesn't have to do anything. Even though he points the sword, they are going to die. And it happened in the word of God. Moses' hands were up, the enemies were fallen. His hands goes down, they start winning. So his hands has to be hold up until all the enemies are destroyed. So you can see just the arms holding in the air, enemy can be destroyed. But now Pharaoh's strong hands, strong power is gone. Both hands are broken. If there is a man very strong and wrestler or boxer or very proud man, and just think his both hands are broken, God can control your arms, your body, your strength, only depend on God. When you trust in God, God renews your mind, he renews your heart, he renews your body. So the point I'm making, sometime God allows you to go through trouble, go through trials. So when you are sanctified with those trials, you can come back and tell your story, why this happened, how God helped me. Here the word of God is saying, all the Egyptians' power is going to go, and they are going to scatter everywhere. And God is going to tell Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar, he said, I will give my sword in his hand. Actually, God did not give any heavenly sword or anything, but God says, whatever he is using, that is my power. I have given that power. And not a single country, single person, Egyptian army will be able to destroy him. And that's very powerful, because God has given us grace. And I was thinking, when God chosen his disciple, gave them the same power and sent them two by two and say, now don't take anything with you and go. And they start saying how great things they did in the name of Jesus Christ. Did they lack anything? No. They were not lacking anything because they had everything sufficient. So the point I'm making, when we are available for God, God can use us. He can put his sword in our hands. We can destroy the enemy. We don't have to be afraid of enemy. We don't have to be running from the enemy. What the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. You don't have to run. Now these people have no power. Okay, verse 25.
But I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babylon, and the arms of Pharaoh shall fall down, and they shall know that I am the Lord. When I shall put my sword into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall stretch it out upon the land of Egypt.
See, he has to just stretch the sword in the land of Egypt, and people start falling. Why? Because it's the sword of the Lord in Nebuchadnezzar king's hand. And he says, all the people will be destroyed because this is the sword of the Lord, Egyptians' enemy's hand. And people start falling in verse 26.
And I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations and disperse them among the countries, and they shall know that I am the Lord.
Now he says, what I'm going to do, I'm going to take the Egyptian people, scatter them around all the nations, and then they will know I am the Lord. Because God has said these things over and over and over, and those people might be thinking, it's not happening. But the one day will come and destroy them. And there is the chapter 30 finishes. Now we're going to start chapter 31, verse 1.
And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the third month, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitude, whom art thou like in thy greatness?
Here again, he gives the year, that's the 11th year. This timing is given so people will know. Such and such a month, such and such a time, God spoke, and exactly happened. Now here he's saying, now let me tell you, Pharaoh, how can I compare you with whom? Because you are so powerful. But I'm going to compare you with a Syrian place like a Lebanon, and they have beautiful trees, And I am going to compare you with the Lebanon trees. And now he's giving him idea how these trees are flourishing. And not only that, not only these trees, but he said Assyrian government was destroyed in front of Pharaoh's eyes. He saw Tyre is destroyed. He saw Assyria is destroyed. They are all their neighbors. And so big, strong countries like a Tyre is destroyed. And now Assyrians are destroyed. Now say, see Assyrian people? They have Lebanon. And Lebanon's trees were very famous. He said those trees had the water coming from the ground, means fountain, and the rivers all around. And the tree were so tall and so strong. So God says, I'm going to compare you with these trees. So now listen, verse 3.
Behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon with fair branches and with a shadowing shroud and of an high stature, and his top was among the thick boughs. The waters made him great. The deep set him up on high with her rivers running round about his plants and sent out her little rivers unto all the trees of the field. Therefore his height was exalted above all the trees of the field, and his boughs were multiplied, and his branches became long because of the multitude of waters when he shot forth.
Now, he's giving an example about the tree. He said, this tree grew so high, so tall, reaching to the cloud, and the branches are going so high, so long, and those branches are not like very thin branches, very thick and strong branches. Nobody can destroy them. And those are the ones going long and strong. And people can see this tree. This tree is not fruit tree. This is like a cedar tree. But this tree is very healthy, very green, and very strong tree. He says you never saw anywhere in the world. You will be seeing God is comparing this tree, even the tree of the Garden of Eden. He says, this tree I made so beautiful, so strong. God says, I made it. I gave this tree this kind of strength to be flourishing, better than in the tree of Garden of Eden. Let's read verse 6.
All the fowls of heaven made their nests in his boughs, and under his branches did all the beasts of the field bring forth their young, and under his shadow dwelt all great nations.
Now, when you see this tree, is representing the country, because regular tree, all the nations cannot come and stay under that tree. So he says, this tree is so flourish, all the fowls of heaven, they are coming, all the animals are coming and coming under the shadow. But when you read the verse 8, he says, all the nations of the world coming under the shadow of this tree. The great nations are coming. From that you know this is not a tree. All other nations cannot come under the tree for the shadow. That means this great nation, like a tree, and other nations were depending on this nation like a green tree. But what's going to happen to this tree, he's saying. Verse 7.
Thus was he fair in his greatness and the length of his branches, for his roots was by great waters. The cedars in the garden of God could not hide him. The fir trees were not like his boughs, and the chestnut trees were not like his branches, nor any tree in the garden of God was like unto him in his beauty.
Now see, God is saying, this tree is so beautiful, so strong, so healthy, even the tree in the garden of Eden was not beautiful like this tree. Now the garden of Eden, they had so many trees, the fruit trees, and beautiful trees. You remember how the Eve was enticed or mesmerized to see that fruit so beautiful. That means when he said there were no other trees like this, he's not talking about the fruit trees. He's talking about the cedar tree. He said this tree is so powerful, so strong, so healthy. Means not a single tree in the Garden of Eden was like that. Verse 9.
I have made him fair by the multitude of his branches, so that all the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God envied him.
He said, I have made him, not her tree. Him means he's talking about the nation. He says, God says, I made this tree, I made this nation so strong, so healthy, so powerful, so other nations can depend on this nation. This is what powerful country, like a flourishing, like a green bay tree. Let's go to the book of Daniel, chapter 4, and start reading from the verse 10 to 14. There are whole chapter you have to read, but we don't have time. We just read four verses, but you will know how great this tree Nebuchadnezzar saw it.
Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. And he cried aloud, and said, Thus hew down the tree, and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches.
When he saw this dream, he didn't know what this dream is all about. Then he calls Daniel, and Daniel gives him example. Now, this tree was reaching to heaven. Now, this tree was fruitful and fruits and everything. Whole world was coming and feeding on this tree. And then Daniel comes and says, you know what? This tree is you. You are so fucked up. You are so strong. You are so mighty. Whole nations are depending on you. But you got so much pride that one day your pride will go down. And they say, cut down the tree and don't cut the root. Root should be there. And so God was trying to tell him, one day will come and you will be like an animal going to the jungle, eating the grass for 7 years, and then you will come to know this kingdom is not yours, God has given to you. And then you will realize. And so, at least for this Nebuchadnezzar, God gave him second chance. God told him what's going to happen. But he did not repent. God gave him chance. Daniel already explained the dream. What's going to happen? What this tree is all about? Tree cut down means your kingdom will be gone. And you will be like an animal eating grass. So he should not be repenting. But he did not repent. And one day he going in the top of his house and starts saying, this is all I made all my kingdom, and instantly he became crazy, and he started running for his life. Maybe they took him and put him in a jungle somewhere, tied down. So the point I'm making, God already gives a chance to repent. He did not repent. So now the same thing God is trying to tell Pharaoh, let me give you an example of the Syria. Let me give an example of Lebanon. Let me give the example of their trees and their fountains and their rivers. What happened? Suddenly, enemy came and cut down everything. But Pharaoh never thought that his country will go down the drain like that. Okay, verse 10.
Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast lifted up thyself in heights, and he hath shot up his top among the thick boughs, and his heart is lifted up in his heights. I have therefore delivered him into the hand of the mighty one of the heathen. He shall surely deal with him. I have driven him out for his wickedness.
No, what God is saying, I have driven him because of his wickedness. When God comes and tells you this is your sin, this is your wrongdoing, and the people ignore, how many times the Bible scripture will tell you, the preacher will tell you, what you're doing is wrong, you should not be doing wrong, and they keep on doing it. And when they keep on doing like that, they get calluses. Then they don't feel bad doing these things. Like, serial killers. They kill one person, another person, another person, and they don't feel bad, and then killing is like easy, like this ISIS, chopping the heads of the people, and they don't feel any guilt. They think they are glorifying God. Jesus said it, the time will come, people will be killing each other and thinking they are doing some great things for God. And this is what the days are coming. So here the word of God is saying, all his strength and all his power, all his wisdom is gone. Why? Because of the wickedness. When the wickedness comes, God does not like wicked people. God destroys the sinners. But God gives chance to sinners to repent. If they don't repent, then nobody can say why this happened to certain persons, because God has given them chances. The word of God says, when the wickedness flourishes and goes to God, just like Sodom and Gomorrah says, their part is filled now. Now I'm going to destroy them. So there is a limit. When you go beyond the limit, God says, this time has come to destroy. Verse 12.
And strangers, the terrible of the nations, have cut him off and have left him. Upon the mountains and in all the valleys, his branches are fallen and his boughs are broken by all the rivers of the land, and all the people of the earth are gone down from his shadow and have left him.
It says, all of a sudden, the warriors or the enemy came, cut down those trees. He says, when cut down those trees and took it to the mountain and cut down to the mountains and the valleys and the riverside, and everywhere the tree branches are broken and destroyed. And so what happened? All the nations were depending on this tree, green tree, or this nation. What happened? All the people are going to run away from this country because now they have no protection. They were thinking we are under the shadow of this great nation. But when enemy comes and start cutting the trees, means destroying the people, other people run for their life. And many nations were depending on, and this is what happened, he says, happened to the Syria, happened to the Lebanon, it's going to happen to you. Okay, verse 13.
Upon his ruin shall all the fowls of the heaven remain, and all the beasts of the field shall be upon his branches, to the end that none of all the trees by the waters exalt themselves for their height, neither shoot up their top among the thick boughs, neither their trees stand up in their height, all that drink water. For they are all delivered unto death, to the nether parts of the earth, in the midst of the children of men, with them that go down to the pit.
If somebody is talking about the tree, how they're going down to the pit or going down to the hell. So what he's trying to say, this is not about tree he's talking about. He's talking about the people. The people were very wealthy, very healthy, very strong. They had no fear of any enemies, but enemy came and destroyed them, and some of the people start running for their life, and some of the people are killed. And he said, now they will all go down to the pit. They are going to go to hell. Why? Because the wickedness was so great in those cities. And so this is an example God is giving to Pharaoh. If I did it to these other countries, I can do it to you. Verse 15.
Thus saith the Lord God, in the day when he went down to the grave, I caused a mourning, I covered the deep for him, and I restrained the floods thereof, and the great waters were stayed. And I caused Lebanon to mourn for him, and all the trees of the field fainted for him.
Now he's still giving an example of Lebanon. He said, this is what happened to Lebanon. Their water was cut off, their rivers were cut off, their wealth was cut off, and everything gone. And so these nations were like a dried up. All the people ran from them. Nobody was helping them. Exactly is going to happen to Pharaoh and his kingdom. And so he's warning. It's warning after warning after warning coming. But I never saw Pharaoh or his people coming. Even the time of Moses, when Moses will come and say this thing will happen, and they will never listen. And when some disaster comes, they will call the Moses and say, please pray to your God. So this thing can, you know, taken away from us and let there be peace. Each time problem came, each time Pharaoh repented. But in this book, Pharaoh is nowhere found. Pharaoh is not repenting. Pharaoh thinking, I'm so great and nobody can destroy me. And that's the way he was thinking. Verse 16.
I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall when I cast him down to hell with them that descend into the pits. And all the trees of Eden, the choice and best of Lebanon, all that drink water shall be comforted in the nether parts of the earth.
When army came from other countries to the Assyria and Lebanon, and fall of that country, just like a fall of Tyre. When Tyre fell, like going down to the sea, and people saw the great fall. The same way he says, when this will the sound of his fall, the sound of the fall of this country was so great, and other countries, surrounding countries, they heard the sound of Lebanon, and the people were falling. Now one or two people, somebody tried to hit them, they make a lot of noise. But thousands and thousands of people are crying and weeping and they're dying. That noise will go around the other nations and they will see. So he's saying, all the nations heard the sound of the fall of that great country and Lebanon falling. And so even that they had everything going around, they had a water, they had mountains, they had the rivers, they had everything. But when God curse came on that country, nobody was survived. So God is saying to Egyptians, look at these people, look at the other countries, what happened to them? This thing can happen to you. They didn't listen. Verse 17.
They also went down into hell with him, unto them that be slain with the sword, and they that were his arm, that dwelt under his shadow in the midst of the heathen.
Now all these people, he said, they went down to the hell. All the people were there slain, and those people died, went to hell. And so God is saying, do you want to go to hell? Do you want to be destroyed? And so with some person, evil person, in front of you get killed or destroyed, and then you say, well, this man had the security guards, this man had a lot of power, but what happened? This man is killed or destroyed. So we have to see, we don't have that kind of protection. Only God's protection. If you don't have a God protection, happens like Pharaoh. God cuts off your hands. God tells the other enemy to overpower you, and you'll be destroyed. Verse 18.
To whom art thou thus like in glory and in greatness among the trees of Eden? Yet shalt thou be brought down with the trees of Eden unto the nether parts of the earth. Thou shalt lie in the midst of the uncircumcised with them that be slain by the sword. This is Pharaoh and all his multitude, saith the Lord God.
Now again the word of God is saying to Pharaoh, what you thinking about yourself? Can you compare yourself with the tree of Lebanon? Can you compare your life to the trees of Garden of Eden? In your glory, what you thinking you are? How you compare yourself with others? All those beautiful trees and gardens and all this beauty is gone. All the strong nations are gone. What you thinking about yourself? How you compare yourself with others? So the point God is saying, think about it. All surrounding nations are dying and wiping it out and gone out of this world. And you are still standing. Indirectly, God is saying, why don't you repent? Why don't you call upon God? Otherwise, you will be going down to pit and hell where the heathens and where the uncircumcised people are. And I was thinking, Pharaoh is not circumcised. Pharaoh is uncircumcised also. That means he's saying, if you turn around and be circumcised, means turn your heart to God, repent, you might have a chance. And then the chapter 32 continuously, if you read, God tells Ezekiel, make a song of wailing or song of mourning for Egypt and Pharaoh. And that will be the next week. So the point I'm making, God is not finished with this Egyptian people. He still gives him chance again. And I think that Ezekiel maybe was a good singer, or maybe he was a good songwriter. And God is telling him now, make a song or lamentation for Pharaoh. And maybe he has to go to city and sing this song about their king and what is going to happen to this king. I don't know what is God's plan for Egypt. As I told you, Tyre is gone and God says, you cannot rebuild Tyre again, and it's gone forever. Sodom and Gomorrah burned to ashes. Nobody is building anything on Sodom and Gomorrah. But God is telling Egyptian people, I'm going to scatter you all around the world. But someday will come, I will bring you back to your own country. But you will not be a powerful country like before. You had other countries under you. It will not happen to you again. But I am going to bring Egyptian people back. And some of the Christian Egyptians, they might be taking these scriptures. They say, God has a mercy on Egypt. God is going to save Egypt, might be. And so many people in Egypt, Christians, are there. You remember these Muslim people took over, and then they wanted to destroy these Christian people in Egypt. And the Egyptian Christian call upon this military, and they said, we support you. And then the Muslim man was defeated. And now, at least Christian people are better there than other countries. So we don't know what God's plan is for Egypt. Egyptian made a treaty with Israeli people. Because Israeli people captured Egypt once, and they were going to keep the Egypt, but they said, no, give us a freedom, and we will not fight with you, we will not have war with you. And they made a treaty. Now Egyptian army cannot fight with Israeli people. But when the Muslim Brotherhood, as soon as he became their prime minister or their president, he starts saying to our president, give us some fighter plane and give us some tank. And we gave them so many tanks and so many fighter plane. But this was not the plan of God. So God turned that over, and that man was captured, and he is prison. I don't know if he's dead or alive. And military is running that country because treaty was there. They cannot fight with Israeli people again. But this man said, oh, we are going to fight with Israel. So what happened? He was defeated. And now Israeli people are not fighting with Egyptian. And Egyptian people do not want to fight with Israel. They have friendship. Christian people there to prosper. And so there are some Christian people are happy in Egypt. I don't know if you heard it or not. In Iran, so many Iranian people are getting saved. I heard other day 250 people got baptized. And there are only 250, but there are thousands of Iranian Christians. Other day I saw a Christian television. They saw 10,000 Christian people gathered together in Iraq. Just imagine, 10,000 Christian people gathered together in Iraq and praying. There is a war happening. But all these people, they didn't have fear of anything. 10,000 people came in Muslim country, all Iranian or Iraqi people praying. So from that, you know, we don't know what God's plan is for Egypt. But God destroyed this Egypt, let them scatter everywhere. But he said, I will gather you back again to your own country. God is still merciful. Because when the wickedness is gone and people worship God, God has mercy. God gives you chances. God gives you warning. And people don't take the warning. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Some people are saying, oh, this is not my job. I'm not a minister. Why should I tell somebody? But each and every person, if you are born again, child of God, it is your duty to tell somebody about Christ coming. If your neighbor's house is on fire, will you tell that person or call somebody to rescue? If you don't, you will be guilty. The point I'm making, God has given us the grace, the salvation. It is our duty to tell somebody. You see many people every day in a shopping center, in a bus stop, or anywhere you see somebody. And when you have some conversation, people start, oh, today is a good weather, or something like that. And they start talking, bring Christ in the middle, and tell them how God saved you, why God saved you, how your life was. And the people want to hear. If they don't want to hear, then the word of God said, put your dust and walk away. I will judge those people. So God has given us grace. All this country we are listening, all these great cities we are listening, and they were destroyed by the power of God. Nebuchadnezzar didn't have that power to destroy all of these things. God says, I give my sword in your hand. So God has power, and he has given us power to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8. What he says? Jesus Christ has come here to destroy the works of the devil. He came, he destroyed the enemy, and the enemy is defeated. People don't know the devil is defeated. They are afraid of devil. You don't have to be afraid of devil. As I said earlier, resist the devil and what? He will flee from you. We don't have to be afraid of devil. Devil brings sickness, disease, and all kinds of problems. What you tell devil? Devil, take your sickness, take your disease, and get out of my life, because I am not belong to you. I am belong to Jesus Christ. If you are belong to Jesus Christ, you have the Jesus Christ is our head, we are his body, and we are living for Christ. When the Jesus is your head, all the commands should go from here to hold your body. So your body will not commit sin. Some people say, oh, I cannot help it, I smoke. I say, sir, the cigarette doesn't come flying from the shop and goes to your mouth and you start smoking. You go to the shop, you buy the cigarette, you open the package, you light the cigarette, and you put it in your mouth. It doesn't come automatically. You have to control your life. You have to tell your body to not to do it. But the head is Christ, then that head will give you the command to not to do it. But people say, I'm born again and I still smoke. I'm born again, I still drink, and God doesn't mind if I do this. God says, you don't have the mind of Christ. If you have the mind of Christ, Christ will not smoke. Christ will not drink. Even though he was taking the communion, he says, fruit of the vine. That's the grape juice. That the grape juice he drank, not the intoxicated wine. Because the word of God says in a book of Proverbs, do not look at that wine when it's red in the cup. If God has given that order, his son, Jesus Christ, will start looking at the wine and take and drink it? No. Then he will be disobedient son of God. Jesus did not disobey God. He was the friend of the sinners, but he did not commit sin. Friend of the sinner means, hey, I'm your friend and let's do whatever we can do because we are friends. No. He says he became the friend of the sinners to change the sinners. That's what he came for. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace. Without your grace, we cannot live. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. Lord Jesus, give us grace to live a clean and holy life. Let our life shine for the glory of God. Let the people see Jesus in us. Let us bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ shed his precious blood to wash away our sins. We just have to come to Jesus and receive his free gift of salvation. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful to you that you have called us with a definite high calling. And you have given us your Spirit. You have given us your grace. You have given us your Holy Spirit. And you have washed us with your precious blood to live for you and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.